We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The man who called that was then Atlanta Braves broadcaster Milo Hamilton, a Hall of Fame broadcaster in his own right. We welcome you to Gwynn and Chris on a bit of a sad Friday here. 3:01 is the time. Chris Ello along with Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby. I once had Milo Hamilton on my show, Tony Gwynn Jr., and I asked him about that famous home run call. And I asked him if he prepared anything that day before the game, if he had anything written down, and he said he had a whole bunch of things written down, and then Hank Aaron hit the home run, and it all went out the window, and he forgot everything he wrote down, and he just made that great call of a classic moment in baseball history, and we're certainly saddened by the passing of Henry Aaron at the age of 86. Tony Gwynn Jr., good to have you aboard today. I read your tweet, RIP Mr. Aaron, broken heart. The advice you gave me the day I started my professional career was simple but priceless. Your legacy will live on forever. I must begin the show by asking you, what advice did Hank Aaron give to you, and how much could that possibly have meant to any young ball player, let alone person in this world, to get to speak to Hank Aaron?
What he told me was, get on down there and get to work, work hard, and he said, just keep your head down. And he said, before you know it, you'll be up here. And it was as simple as that. I remember it like it was yesterday. As a second-round pick for the Brewers, they flew me in to Milwaukee after the contract was signed and all that stuff. I got to watch the Minnesota Twins take on the Milwaukee Brewers. Torrey Hunter's in center. A guy I grew up watching, Jock Jones, was in right field. And I just remember I was looking out of the owner's box, and I'm looking on the field. Hank Aaron sitting right there, and we talked for about 15 minutes. And that was the last thing he said to me, because as soon as that game was over, I was on a van headed to Beloit, Wisconsin to start my my professional career. It was like the last taste of big leagues I would get until I was there on my own. And
how long did that
they couldn't find a bicycle for you to ride? They just stick you in a van.
Well, yeah. it's your welcome to the minor leagues moment, right? It's like, all right, you're on a van. It was just me and another dude. We head out to Beloit. I think it was like, I feel like it was 2.5 hours, maybe a little less than
just,
that.
That's unbelievable that you got a chance to meet Hank Aaron and get to talk to Hank Aaron. That's something many of us could only dream of. Tony, I was going to sit here and read off a whole bunch of Hank Aaron statistics today, but I think everybody can look up all of the unbelievable numbers associated with the career of Hank Aaron. But I think, you know, both of us ought to take a moment to try to speak to, as best we can, what he meant as an African-American baseball player coming up in the mid-50s, shortly after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. And I've certainly heard Hank Aaron interviewed many times, and the hate mail that he received was just piles upon piles of it, playing not just as an African-American in the major leagues, but after a brief stint in Milwaukee, moving to Atlanta and playing in the Deep South as an African-American athlete. And there is almost no words out there to adequately describe what Hank Aaron accomplished and what he meant to so many people out there, both colors, all races, all humanity. It's like I said, I don't really have quite the words to express it properly, but I think it all matters when you talk about the story of Hank Aaron.
It absolutely does. It's not just baseball. I mean, civil rights. I mean, he was involved with that. I mean, he did so much for the communities he was in, whether it was Milwaukee at first or Atlanta later. And you know, and that's a lot of that's off the field stuff. On the field, he was one of the greatest ambassadors Major League Baseball has ever had. What he went through, I mean, during that, you hear the stories of while he's chasing Babe's number, the amount of hate mail he got.
Yeah.
He had so much hate mail, so much so that they had to hire somebody to basically keep track of it during that time. And he endured through that and went on to break Babe's record. And, you know, I think by most accounts, by mostly everybody I know, he's still considered the home run king.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's baseball has really, Major League Baseball, specifically the Hall of Fame, has really taken a hit over the last, 9 months, 10 months.
It's unbelievable.
And you know, you get to a new year, you feel like it's going to be fresh, and then you get news like this, and it's a quick, sobering reminder that time is precious, life is precious, and today we lose a baseball giant. There's just no other way to say it.
No other way to say it. There's some of the most unbelievable things that I did kind of uncover in going through his statistics. Tony, he was finished in the top 10 of the most valuable player balloting 13 times. He only won it once, but he was in the top 10 13 times. That's a pretty long stretch of your career where you're having a major impact on things. Hit 40 home runs 8 times, hit over 300 14 times, had over 100 in RBIs 11 times. You know how many times he struck out 100 times in a season, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
How many times?
None. How about zero?
Yeah.
He never struck out 100 times in a season. Those guys hit the ball back in those days. And I know everybody's talking about, you know, how to make baseball better. Well, one way to make it better would be to have a whole bunch of Hank Aaron guys come up to the plate who just said, throw it and I'll hit it, and didn't mess around up there too much. No. Hank didn't walk a whole bunch. He didn't strike out a whole bunch, but he ended up walking more than he struck out in his career. He stole 20 bases 6 times. He won 3 gold gloves. I mean, there isn't anything he couldn't do as well as any other player on a baseball field. And when he hit that home run, Tony, that we heard the call of Milo Hamilton, I was a little kid. I was on my mom's bed, and I got screamed at for jumping up and down on that bed. But it was worth it, because that was a moment as a little kid that – You'll take with you forever. You remember it forever, chasing that hollowed record. And that's why Hank Aaron is the reason why Babe Ruth 714 lives on so long, is because his chase of that number was it transcended sports, it transcended baseball. It was something that an entire country was in on. And it was obviously a lot bit different when Barry Bonds was approaching Hank Aaron's record of 755. But
yeah,
when Hank broke Babe's record, man, the whole world stopped, it seemed like. And it's really a sad day. I'm, you know, baseball, like you said, has been taking such a hard hit with all of these Hall of Famers passing. And Hank Aaron is just, I just don't think that we appreciate him enough. And we only have another 4 hours left on the show to try and appreciate him, and that's not going to be enough either.
Yeah. We would love to hear some calls from some of the folks that grew up watching Hank Aaron. Maybe some stories that you may have of him, but yeah, I mean, this is sad, man. This kind of hit me hard this morning when I finally saw the news about it. And it didn't take long before it spread across our country, and people were posting about it. And that was the first memory that came to mind, was, man, not only did I get to meet him, I got a signed baseball that day. I mean, it was to start off your professional career. That's as probably good as it can get in terms of, you know, getting a chance to meet one of the all-time greats. And I would get a chance to talk to him and see him throughout my course of being a Milwaukee Brewer. But, yeah, it's just a sad day for sure.
Vin Scully was so legendary in so many ways and for so many reasons. But one of the reasons I felt that he was legendary, Tony, growing up in Los Angeles and listening to Dodger games, was that Vin Scully not only made the Dodgers heroic, but he made the great players for the other teams heroic as well. And one of the guys he lifted in my mind was Hank Aaron. And as I tweeted out earlier today, when Hank Aaron would come to the plate, Vin Scully would say, "Here comes Henry Aaron." And it just made it sound a little more reverent.
Yeah.
It just made it sound a little more classy.
Here comes doing that.
Yeah, Vin Scully would introduce it, and it'd be like, "Bow down, because here comes Henry Aaron." Every now and again, when there was a couple of runners on base and the Dodgers' lead was in jeopardy, Vin Scully would say something, "Look out, here comes Bad Henry." And it used to just make me laugh. But, you know, Hank Aaron, just listening to him through the radio and the Vin Scully call was just raised it to another amazing level. And, of course, Vin Scully had a tweet today about this, saying so he was saddened to hear about Hank Aaron, that he meant so much more to baseball and the country than just being one of the game's top home run hitters. Truly a special, very special man, and that was the that is the life and times of Hank Aaron. And as Tony said, if you want to share anything on Hank Aaron, you're welcome to 833-288-0973. We'll trudge on the program today. There's a lot going on in sports on this Friday. We're on the eve of the weekend of the AFC and NFC championship games, so we'll be talking some football on the program, of course. Patrick Mahomes has been cleared to play, passed through the concussion protocol. I don't think that's really a surprise to anybody, but it is official that Mahomes will be starting for the Chiefs on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills in the AFC title game. Some other news today, some locally, the Padres, and it's a big deal, Tony, came to terms with Jurickson Profar in a 3-year, $21 million contract. So that's not bad for Jurickson. $7 million to come off the bench. I'll take it. I bet you it's more than Hank Aaron ever made in a year.
Yeah, he proves his worth this past season when he got a chance to play on a consistent basis. And listen, I liked it. I really liked this signing. I think this shores up the Padres' bench. It gives them more depth. It gives them more versatility because Jurickson showed that not only can he play some left field, he wasn't nearly what people thought he was going to be at second base. He was actually pretty good over there. So
he was no liability.
No, not at all. He wasn't a liability at all. So I love the signing. I think he's going to get a chance to – they're going to find it back. That's the thing. Again, in 162 games, there are going to be times Jace Tingler wants to throw a different lineup out there. He's going to want to keep guys fresh throughout the season. And I think this is a good signing by it. But I mean, not a surprise. I mean, A.J. Preller has been pretty good at this all season, all off season. So I do like the Jurickson Profar move big time.
Me too. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Jesse Agler, your partner, Padres broadcaster, will join the program at 3:35. We'll talk with him about his recollections of the great Henry Aaron and also talk about this Padre offseason with Jesse Agler. Look forward to that conversation coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll have our Gwynn and Chris playoff pick'em coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, along with Chris versus the fans, Big Five. Going to get a look at UFC Fight Night with our buddy Bo Templin in the 5 o'clock hour tonight. And do we have to do the Daily Gambit today, Scraby? Can I just call a mulligan?
No, but you are trending downward in your bets.
Trending downward.
Yes.
That is about as nice as anybody can put the fact that I bet on 5 things last night and lost them all.
We have so many bets to go through today. So many.
I can't possibly lose them all again. We'll have all of that coming up. And then our interview of the week will be a reprise of our visit with the great Ted Leitner And that will wrap up our show in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. So like I said, we got a really nice show lined up for you. Sit back, relax. You want to join, share a couple of Henry Aaron stories, you're more than welcome to do that. 833-288-0973. We are underway. It's Chris Zello. It's Tony Gwynn Jr. Can Theo Epstein save baseball? We're going to talk about what he's going to try and do and what some people would like to see him try to do when we come back as the Gwynn and Chris show gets underway. Number one sports station in San Diego, that's 97.3 The Fan. Now, a check of the fans' traffic report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center.
3:20 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Zello, Matt Scraby. We got a Aztecs women's basketball game tonight, don't we?
Got a little Aztec women's basketball. Be heading out a little early this evening, so appreciate that, guys, letting me do that. But yeah, Aztecs playing Air Force in both men's and women's today. The Aztec guys are playing 6 o'clock this evening against the Falcons. Trying to get back on track, Tony. They've they start 6-0, and now they've gone 3-4 since then. So. We'll see if Brian Dutcher can get the ball club rolling again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This hour is brought to you by the Auto Club of Southern California. Looking to save money on auto insurance? It's easy. Get your free quote at AAA.com/insurance. You can save even more when you bundle your homeowner's or renter's policy, too. Visit AAA.com/insurance today for a free quote. Obviously, baseball is starting to kind of feel like it's in the – I mean, at least I do. I'm starting to feel that spring training-y type feel coming along. By the way, happy birthday to Wayne Kirby out there celebrating a birthday today for Padres' first base coach. Baseball in general.
I think Wayne Kirby.
I do, too.
I just thought I'd throw that in there. What a terrifically nice guy he was when we got a chance to meet him last year. Great guy.
He does not play around when it comes to the outfield and the base running. You better make sure you're paying attention. Wayne will chew your you-know-what out.
Were the Padres not one of the better base running teams last year?
Indeed they were. Indeed, yes, they were. And they had a gold glover in center field, too. So, baseball, though, from a 20,000-foot view, I think by all accounts is struggling compared to the other games. And when I say other games, I'm talking basketball, football. Those are the major ones that baseball is constantly competing with. And it's clear from a spectating standpoint, and I think Chris and I have had this conversation many a times, that there is a lot left to be desired watching a game as a spectator. And Major League Baseball recently has brought in Theo Epstein, one of the best GMs to ever do it. They brought him in basically for this point here alone, to figure out a way on how to make this game more watchable, basically have more action. And Ken Rosenthal, who has been on our show a few times, friend of the show, wrote a very interesting way of talking about these issues. He basically wrote Theo Epstein a letter on what he could do, some ideas that he had that could help the game. And it boils down to this, and this goes back a few years ago. Royal second baseman Whit Merrifield responded to a tweet. It was a tweet quote by MLB on Fox. And it got right to the point. He said, it's simple. This is how you fix it. Pay players who put the ball in play and pitchers who throw strikes more. Players who hit homers are paid more. So players strive only to hit homers. Same with pitchers. Strikeouts get guys paid. Getting weak contact pays less. So basically, Ken Rosenthal writes this letter to Theo Epstein, and it's a bunch of different outside-the-box ideas of how you could get more action in the game. And I thought it was well written, and I thought there were some good ideas in this, Chris. I don't know if you got a chance to see it yet, but
I did.
There were some good ideas. Now, you have to think of it in terms – I had to take my baseball player mind out of it and just think from a pure spectating standpoint What would keep people interesting? And I got to say, there are a lot of things that were in there that I thought was good. I mean, among them that I thought was surprising that he didn't want out was keeping the shift. In that article, he felt like keeping the shift was, or getting rid of it was not necessarily something that was going to help the game. I don't know. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, the shift, see, I don't care too much about the shift either. I guess I get a little frustrated as a fan when a guy hits a line drive to right field and there's a second baseman standing there. But at least the ball's in play. At least he hit it. At least something's happening. So I don't really worry about the shift as much as I worry about guys swinging the bat. And I think that's what Whit Merrifield was talking about. Now, you could say that Whit Merrifield is being a little bit self-serving here, since he's a guy that does put the ball in play, and he's not a guy that hits as many home runs. So it makes sense that Whit Merrifield would be saying, hey, let's pay the guys who put the ball in play. But I think most people would agree that watching somebody like Tony Gwynn Sr. hit is a lot more exciting than watch somebody like Dave Kingman hit. And I'm going back many years, and so people are saying, well, what am I talking about? Kingman was a guy that either hit the ball 500 feet or he struck out, and he most of the time struck out. I guess a guy that would be comparable to in this day and age would be who? Crash Davis or somebody like that, Tony?
Right.
Somebody who strikes out a couple of hundred times per season. We need the ball in play. And I think that whatever it takes to get the ball in play more is what's going to make baseball exciting. I know they keep talking about trying to speed up the game. I don't need the game to be faster.
Right.
I just need it to be more fun while I'm watching it.
I think that's my own feeling. No, I think as we have, complained over the last 5-6 years of how slow the game has gotten, I think it has evolved from a time thing to an action thing. Because I think what we learn in the playoffs, when there seems to be a little bit more action, we enjoy games regardless of how long they are. Go back to, I always refer back to that Dodger Astro game, that it was constant action. And that game went like 4 hours. Nobody said a peep.
Nobody
about
cared
how long that got. We enjoyed the game.
They were.
And the article or this letter also highlights the difficulties, because Chris and I talked about this, I think, on Tuesday. The mere fact that there's not a lot of trust between these two sides will make it hard for anything Theo wants to do. So Ken's letter points out that if he wants any chance at trying to change this game for the better, he's got to get buy-in from the players. Now, remember, this is the same Theo Epstein that kept Chris Bryant in the minor leagues, a day longer so that they can hold him for another. That won't be forgotten on player side. But nevertheless, if they can get buy-in from the players and kind of, get some of their ideas even, it might not be as hard of a lift or as heavy as a lift as it may seem right now to try to get some of these buy-ins. Because nothing can be changed without the players' approval. That's just how this whole collective bargaining thing works. So
that's where it's going to start. And I agree with you 100%, Tony, and I think it's going to be hard to move the mound back. It's going to be hard to, change the way the games are decided and keeping the shift and moving the shift and the DHs and all of those things. One thing I think you can do, though, is talk to the players about the strike zone. And that is something that Ken Rosenthal has in his letter to Theo Epstein. And I believe, and I mentioned this to Scraby last week when you weren't gone, Tony, I believe that it's time for umpires to call strikes. And I don't mean to make up strikes. I just mean forget the razor-thin pitch that is a quarter of an inch off the plate. And just because you're trying to make sure that you're within the Fox box there that's on the screen, ring it up as a strike and get guys to get their bats off their shoulders. Now, I know there's going to be some people who disagree with me, and I bet you one of them's coming on next, Jesse Agler, because he's in favor of the computerized strike zone. And once you get the computerized strike zone, Tony, I think guys will be swinging even less because they know that they're going to get a pitch called a ball if it's an inch off the plate. But I would like to see some pitches that are an inch off the plate called strikes and get guys swinging. And I think that right there will start the action going in Major League Baseball. Less walks, less strikeouts, more swinging the bat.
The numbers show that there aren't less swings. That is part of the issue is if you even if umpires start calling that pitch off, you're still going to get swinging miss, which is still no action. And so what Ken points out is maybe you shrink. You don't necessarily shrink the plate, but you cut the angle down of on the backside of like kind of where the triangle starts to take place. And it what it does is it all of a sudden it forces pitchers to throw the ball more. He also suggested bringing the strike zone down. So if at the top of the strike zone is almost unhittable when you have velocity, by bringing the strike zone down, it forces the pitchers into a spot where they have to make more contact. They got to put the ball in a place where hitters can actually take a swing and hit. Because ultimately, that is where we need to get to, is when there is more action to be played in the game. That is where we – and I promise you we won't even be talking about time limits anymore. There will be action, and we will be entertained a lot more. So, Scraby and I will dive into this a little bit. Maybe we get Jesse's opinion on when we get him on, because he is certainly following this particular take right here. And
like I said earlier, just get more Hank Aarons in the game. They'll swing the bat. And they'll hit the ball, too.
They'll hit the ball. Yeah, they hit the ball a lot.
That'd be they'll hit it hard.
Doing a lot of damage. Let's step away. Let's get to break. When we come back, as I mentioned, Jesse Agler will join us to talk Padre baseball. Maybe we and him can – this will be the first time we've actually talked, I think, since, you know, we've become official partners.
The big announcement,
I'm looking forward to this. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Vicky Pepper, thank you very much for the traffic update there. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. rolling along till 7 o'clock. Interesting day in baseball. Padres have signed Jurickson Profar. 3-year contract, $21 million. And, of course, the Padres made the announcement just a couple of weeks ago that Jesse Agler will be the new full-time play-by-play voice of Padre baseball.
Can we get this man
proud of him
round of applause,
and happy
please.
To have him on the program. Hello, Jesse Agler. We've had a lot of plaudits for Tony Gwynn Jr. on this particular show. It's good to have his partner in crime on with us as well. So congratulations to you. I know that a lot of people, and you had some wonderfully kind things to say about Ted Leitner when that announcement was made. But I think the focus was on Ted Leitner, and that maybe it should be, but it shouldn't be forgotten that this is, I'm sure, a dream come true for you. And an opportunity very well earned, my friend. So congratulations.
Well, thanks, Chris, first of all. Very nice words. And, yeah, it was definitely it is and was definitely all about Ted. And it should be. I think what he accomplished in this town is like the borderline impossible thing to do. You know, I mean, he thrived and survived and entertained and informed in like every imaginable way in our business. And you know, you've done a lot of different things here. Most of us have done a lot of different things in our career. It is really hard to do like one thing sort of well. Ted did a lot of things really, really well. And did it differently. He did it his own way, all of it. Did that rankle some people at times? Of course, he knows that. He loves talking about that. But that's what makes Ted different. And like, I don't know, like for me, I'd rather a guy like that than, you know, someone boring who just sounds like everybody else. You know, he's just a spectacular talent. And the one thing that maybe, because he's moved into this beloved phase now where we're all just talking about how wonderful he is, and obviously that's true, and it is very much what we feel, but, like, he is a hell of an announcer. He really is. And he is a brilliant guy. Like, his mind is a trap. It's incredible. I'll see him read something at 4:30 p.m. and not write it down and then regurgitate it at 8:45 p.m. in the fifth inning. And he gets it right, word for word. And I'm like, man, I would have had to write that down three times to try and remember. Right. Like, there's no, and he's like a steel trap. It's incredible. A wonderful announcer, a wonderful partner. And I'm very, you know, excited for him to move on to this next phase. I hope he enjoys it, you know, at least half as much as he enjoyed the last one. Tony and I will we'll do our best to take it from here.
One thing that you are going to miss about Ted, just last question about Ted before we move on to some Padre stuff. What's one thing you're going to miss about working with him on an everyday basis that you did?
I'll say this, Tony. You're one of my favorite people in the world. You don't make me laugh the way he does, okay? So if we could work on that, that would... if you could become, like, really funny in the next, you know, few months, that would be great. Because he would crack me up. I'm talking off the air, by the way. Like, on the air, we'll be fine. But off the air, here's the thing. Like, for anyone who's ever listened to Ted do a baseball game or do a talk show, if you think that that stops when you go to commercial, let me tell you, it does not. It continues and in many cases ramps up when you go to commercial. So those, you know, everybody talks to Tony for you and I about, oh, we got to fill shoes. This is filling shoes. Really, the shoes I'm most concerned about filling are the ones that take place in the 90 seconds between innings
right,
when he would have me
right.
rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah, he is funny. I'll tell you, there's no question about that. Jesse Agler is with us, Padres broadcaster. And Jesse, before we move into the Padres real quick, just some, I know you played a little bit before your time, not totally before your time, but just when you hear about the passing of Henry Aaron and just your thoughts on his impact on the game of baseball. We tried to put it in perspective, gave it our best shot. It's almost impossible to do so.
It is. You know, I think as significant of an American figure as he was a ball player, and anytime you can say anything like that about somebody, it should give you a pretty good pause and, you know, a moment to think about just how important of a human being he was to fight through everything he did. I remember reading about, you know, when I was a kid, I guess, maybe a preteen or a teenager, you know, what he had to deal with while chasing down 714, you know, while chasing down Babe Ruth's home run record. And it just seemed inconceivable to me in my, you know, naivete as a 12-year-old or whatever, you know, that someone could be even in the 70s. And I know the 70s weren't exactly the most enlightened era ever, but, you know, it seemed recent. It was recent, you know, when I was reading this in the early 90s, I guess it would have been. And it really just struck me how scary it must have been. And, you know, for him to just continue to put on the brave face, for his family to have gone through everything they did, I guess really all you need to know is what everybody is saying today. You know, some of the most significant figures, not only in baseball history, but in sports history, you know, coming out and sharing their admiration for Henry Aaron and what he did, again, not just as a baseball player. And you look at his stats, not as good as anybody who's ever played this game. But what he did, you know, as a human being, what he had to go through, you know, the number of guys who were saying, that's my idol. That's who I looked up to. A guy I used to work with, a very close friend of mine, Sam Madison, is a Pro Bowl cornerback, you know, won a Super Bowl with the Giants, and he's on the Chiefs coaching staff, and he's getting ready to coach, you know, for a second straight year in the AFC Championship game this weekend. And he put on Instagram today a picture of Henry Aaron, and Sam grew up in Tallahassee, which is Braves country, certainly. And he wrote something about how, you know, Henry Aaron was the reason why baseball has always been his favorite sport, the reason why he was an athlete, the reason why he played sports. I mean, you're talking about, again, a guy, a Pro Bowl cornerback, football player, you know, getting ready to coach in the AFC Championship game this weekend, talking about how the reason he wanted to be an athlete was Henry Aaron. I mean, and you're hearing stories like that from every corner of the sports world. He is, again, just as significant as it comes, and by every account imaginable. And my only brush with him was incredibly brief. I tweeted it. I don't need to go through the whole story with you guys. But, you know, I mean, just like the ultimate gentleman on top of everything else.
Yeah, certainly Hank is going to be missed by all of us. Jesse Agler, a lead radio voice, and my partner, joins us here on 97.3 The Fan, Gwynn and Chris. And Jesse, today we find out Jerickson Profar reportedly has signed a three-year, $21 million deal. I love this move. This is the move I've been expecting the whole offseason. It didn't materialize until now, but I think this puts it adds to the theme of what the Padres have been doing all offseason. Depth, depth, depth.
I mean, it's a championship caliber roster. There's no question about it. I mean, you're going to – you know what's really interesting? This is now – I'm going off on a side tack, so I apologize. But, like, I'm really curious, and I'm sure you and I will talk about this a lot in spring training, like how they handle playing time. I hate to say load management, but I will. You know what I mean? Because, like, they're gonna have the opportunity with the depth that they have to really do some things. And, like, a year ago, it would have been unthinkable at this time to talk about Manny getting regular time off. or Fernando Tatis Jr. getting regular time off, it maybe isn't the craziest thing in the world now, particularly when you're piggybacking what we think probably will be a 162-game season on top of what was just a 60-game season last year.
Right.
So, you know, I think they are as well set up for that. Forget that. They are better set up for that than any other team in baseball. And the Dodgers are probably the only other team that can make a claim similar. But, you know, I think they'll really be able to, you know, foster a roster, you know, kind of strategy that should help keep guys fresh longer while continuing to win games. You know, this isn't going to be the old-fashioned, like, all right, it's Sunday and you give all your starters a day off because you won on Friday and Saturday. Like, they can win with those guys on Sunday now. Like, they're not going to be, you know, conceding the final game of the series when they do stuff like this. So, and they can, you know, do it based on matchups, everything like that. And Profar obviously is a huge part of that because of his versatility, because of, you know, just sort of the energy he brings no matter their role. And you know, how many times last year, Tony, did we all talk about how, you know, we don't get to go in the clubhouse, so we don't get a great sense of certain things like we normally would. One thing I had a great sense of last year, even without being able to go down there, was that Jurickson Profar was a glue guy. You know, the mm-hmm. Jurickson Profar was one of the guys that seemed to always have everybody smiling. He and Tatis seemed to develop like a very special connection and relationship, and that made everybody better. And that was a big, big positive. So I'm sure, and I know we'll talk to AJ Preller about this move at some point in the next few days, I'm sure that's going to come up. Like, how big of a part of his personality and what he brought off the field, you know, was it in terms of the decision to bring him back on a new deal?
Voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler, joins us. That's a nice ring to it.
It does. It sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if he'd been called that quite in that manner before, but I thought I'd throw it out there. Joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse, we had so much fun just the one game I sat in with you in the booth last year talking about the rules of baseball and changing baseball and things that are going to be coming up. And I know you're a fan of a lot of the changes baseball's making, and I know you think about it often. What would you, commissioner for a day, and you know, you can throw a couple of rules in to try and make it more exciting. I mean, I know it's not simple to answer, but what direction would you head?
Yeah, so, I mean, commissioner for a day, first of all, I'm probably, like, building a brick wall in front of the door of the office so they can't throw me out after a day. I'd be like, oh, give me a week at least, because I got a lot I want to do.
You got a week. You got a week.
Yeah, Rosenthal, I think, wrote about it today, was it, in The Athletic, you know, some of the things that he wants to see. I like messing around with moving the mound back a little bit. I do think it's insane that we're using the same dimensions that we used in 1893 when the average fastball was, I don't know, like 70 miles an hour or something like that. I mean, it doesn't add up. And I know that the hitters' reflexes are better than they were in 1893, but there's no way they've kept up with the velocity the pitchers are throwing. So I think a small moving of the mound backwards might, you know, be able to even things out a little bit and perhaps induce a little bit more contact. I would really like to see the pitch clock. I just would. I think there's too much time between pitches, too much of the game. I think everybody would adjust to it. I know there would be an awful lot of complaining at the beginning, but I think it would be one of those things that after a month and a half, you'd almost forget about most of the time. So I'd really like to see a pitch clock. You know, the DH, I think at this point I'm resigned to the fact that after last year, it belongs, you know, in both leagues, it really does. I liked the 7-inning doubleheaders. You know, they don't make or break my life or anything like that. But I do like them. I thought there was some fun strategy. It also sort of, you know, prevents you from being in a situation where, you know, you could blow your whole staff in one day, which could obviously make things complicated from a schedule standpoint. You know, a lot of the obvious stuff that people have talked about to try and get more contact and more action into the game. One of them that is not talked about nearly enough, though, and I don't know if I've previously brought up either one of you guys, although I probably have because we've had this conversation a couple of times, is one of the things they experimented with in that Atlantic League a couple of years ago that for whatever reason has flown under the radar was that they made it illegal for the pitcher to do a pickoff throw to first base without stepping back off the rubber. And basically stolen base attempts exploded in that league. Because all of a sudden, you could get a better lead. You could get a better jump. You weren't worried about, like, those world-class pickoff moves that are all box anyway, by the way. You know, and you could actually put the running game back in. And now, all of a sudden, right, you know, the running game has gone out of style because all the analytics tell you, hey, if you're not successful 80% of the time, it's not worth the risk. Well, now you're going to be successful. Your best base runners, at least, your best base stealers, are going to be successful 80% of the time because they don't have to worry about those tricky pickoff moves. You just can't get too greedy over there. And I forget all the numbers because I read this article 2 years ago, but it was something crazy where like the stolen base attempts went up like 60% or something that season in the league. And I think the stolen base is one of the most exciting things. You have that tension that builds where the pitcher's looking over and is he going to come home or is he going to go to first? And then all of a sudden the guy takes off, you know, that kind of thing. And the catcher all of a sudden has to be able to have that skill set. I mean, we talked about it a lot here the last couple of years because Hedges was a defensive wizard, but outside of framing, nobody talks about catcher defense anymore because nobody's trying to steal bases anymore. So I think that would be a really exciting one to try. And that's a real simple, easy thing. I mean, just, okay, you have to, if you're going to throw to first base as a pitcher, if you're going to try a pickoff, you got to step off the back of the rubber first. It's not some crazy change to the game. It's not, you know, limiting the number of innings or putting runners on base or anything like that. It's just saying if you're going to try and pick somebody off, you got to step off the rubber. So that's another one that I would definitely jam in there as quickly as possible. And lastly, very long-winded, but I told you I got a week in that office now. Yeah. I want to play with the strike zone. I think the automated strike zone is almost certainly coming in 2022 with the new CBA. I think the umpires have even agreed to like the sort of framework of that deal. And when you have an automatic strike zone, what you're able to do is manipulate it. You can change the shape of it. So year one, hey, all right, maybe we eliminate the top of that strike zone because everybody's like blowing four seamers up past hitters, right? So maybe we bring the strike zone down a little bit so the guys can take those pitches. Maybe that gets the pitchers back in the zone. Maybe that gets some more contact. And hey, if that doesn't work, okay, next year, let's manipulate it a little bit more. All it is dragging a mouse on a screen, I guess. So like, you know, figure out what kind of strike zone works best, you know, to try and create the sort of aesthetic game that we think would be most enjoyable for all the fans.
I had to introduce you to this guy, Tony Gwynn Jr., because he had a really similar idea.
Just force to strike throwing a little bit more. Incentivize it. There's all kinds of things you can do, whether it's with the automated or you're doing it the manual way. The zone has got to get smaller, I think. You know, because ultimately the pitch clock to me, I think, can be eliminated if there's more action. Because I think if there's more action, people aren't going to complain as much about the time. But if the game has got no action and the game is long, I mean, it makes for a tough swing. But this brings me to my next question, Jesse, and I know we only got a couple more minutes with you. Theo Epstein steps into this role, and he's been brought in basically to address this matter. I mean, he seems like he's the right guy for the job, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met Theo. You know, obviously, I know he really started his career here with the Padres. And I liked what he said when he stepped down from the Cub job, which was, you know, he took responsibility for a lot of this. You know, a lot of these, you know, aesthetically displeasing changes to the game in the last 25 years have been analytically driven, and he was obviously one of the guys, you know, leading the way there. Look, the comment I've made for the last few years, every time I've brought this up, is it cannot be left to the teams. Because if you're a general manager, your job, or a manager, whatever, your job is to help your team win. Do whatever you can to try and win. It doesn't matter if it looks good. It doesn't matter if it's pretty. It doesn't matter if it's an enjoyable television product. That's not your job. Your job is to play within the rules. You know, same thing with the players. Like, Eric Hosmer's job is not to make sure that his at-bat is enjoyable for everybody watching. It's to get on base. It's to drive and run. That's what he should be worried about. But there needs to be somebody who is worried about that stuff and who has some kind of control and power, and that's got to be the league office. Now, rule changes, I understand. You know, they got to be bargained through the CBA. That's great. We can all, you know, be reasonable adults, hopefully, at some point, and talk these things through and try some things out. But, again, the players, the coaches, the managers, the general managers, they will all exist within whatever bubble of rules you create. You just have to create some rules that are a little bit different, I think, than the ones we have now.
Well, one thing I know for sure, no matter what they do with the game of baseball, the broadcasts are going to be top-notch, and they are going to be exciting. And I got the two guys that are going to be calling the games with us right now, Tony Gwynn Jr. and Jesse Agler. Thanks for the time, Jesse. Have a good weekend,
Thanks,
buddy.
Jesse.
Thank you.
You too, guys. Thank you.
All right, there he is, Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, along with Tony Gwynn Jr. Broadcasts are going to be the best this year. It's going to be so fun to listen to you guys. When we come back, 833-288-0973. Time to beat me with some Chris versus the fans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.